helping me out, you know. But this one I was impressed with. It came from Andrew Oremus, little Andrew. Dear Pastor Schumacher, I know you were talking with some visitors on Wednesday night, but I wanted to talk to you. So that is why I'm writing this letter. I need some advice on how to become a preacher. Before I decided to be a preacher, I was going to be a police officer, but that is a dangerous job. So I decided to become a preacher. I even told them how dangerous being a preacher is. Thank you, and I think you are an awesome preacher. So I've got one person in here. Thank you, Andrew. You're an awesome young man. Amen, amen. Glory to God. If anybody else wants to write letters like that to me, amen. Now, this morning we laughed a lot. Amen. And there's an importance in laughing and being merry and having the joy of the Lord. And I told you I preached something serious tonight, but, you know, serious can be good too. It really can. So if you turn to 2 Peter, the third chapter, starting in verse number 1, again, if we could keep the screen down. 2 Peter 3, verse 1, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days. Are we in the last days? What's going to happen? Scoffers walking after their own lust. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the coming of his promise of his coming? For since the Father fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the very beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. If you went to Zechariah, the 14th chapter, you'd see that one day the world is going to be destroyed by fire. And it really describes a nuclear holocaust. Amen. And then if you go to Matthew 24, Matthew 24 and verse 44, starting verse 42, watch therefore, for we... ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I've been talking to pastors and evangelists and missionaries, and it seems like everyone agrees we are so close to the second coming of the Lord. The question tonight is, in fact, the question should be every day, all right, are you ready? Are you ready? I think about that a lot because I want to be ready. And I examine myself to see, am I in a place? And should the Lord return tonight, I'd be asking for mercy because I could do everything I know to do and still be short of perfection. So are you ready for our God? Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing on your word. We're grateful to be standing here this evening in your presence. It's in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Would you also go to Matthew, the 25th chapter? Starting in verse number 1, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I guess I've preached on this a number of times over the last 40 years, but it's a reality. It's not an allegory. It's something that Jesus said in order to have his bride ready. This parable isn't addressing sinners, folks. This is addressing the church. Those who have been filled with the Holy Ghost and have the oil, they all had access to the bridegroom. Half of the church, Jesus said half of the church, 50% of the church was foolish. Foolish because they could have as much oil as they wanted. Because God's pouring out his spirit upon all flesh. And I see people coming in here for the first time, lifting up their hands, and God fills them with the Holy Ghost. Why not saints of God who have been living for God for a long time, who just need a refreshing, need a refilling, if you will, but they allowed their oil to diminish. The Holy Ghost wasn't their focus of attention anymore, and they were occupied with other interests. That's what happened with these 5 foolish. They said, for our lamps are gone out. What caused the saint's lamp to go out? Or why is there lack of oil when God's pouring out his spirit? God wants to give us all of what he has. Well, number one, they aren't looking for the bridegroom anymore. They are no longer, as Matthew 6 and 33 says, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of these other things that God could satisfy them with aren't coming to them, and they get frustrated. Priorities have changed their lives, and God is no longer at the top of their list. They have changed some things in their life. They haven't changed doctrine, just changed priorities, becoming complacent about the things of God. Complacency kills more saints than the devil. okay. Number two, they didn't realize their lamps weren't burning anymore. They thought they were, but they weren't. Have you ever needed a flashlight? You know, searched the house for the lights went out. You're looking for a flashlight. You go into the junk drawer at my house. You search around to find a flashlight, and then you realize that it doesn't work because the batteries are dead. You know. Now, had you been aware of where it was and you used it on a more frequent basis, you would have been aware that there was a low battery. You see. If you use the Holy Ghost, glory to God. Take a look at Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourself like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him, what? Immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. I've said this before. I thought in 1980, God was coming. He's coming that year. I said to a minister's conference, a lot of you men who are about my age have never had a savings account because you never thought you would ever retire because you thought the Lord was going to come, you know? That's not wise. You live the way you need to be a part of the rapture of the church, but you plan as if he's not coming in your lifetime, you see? But we have to be ready. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 15 that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And so we need to shine, but we can't shine if we don't have the oil. There is an undeniable correlation between witnessing and the supply of the Holy Ghost. I mean, when someone is filled with the Holy Ghost at the altar, I can tell you exactly what they're wanting to do. They want to tell somebody about it. They're filled with the Holy Ghost, and there's an automatic correlation or reaction that I've got to tell somebody, but if you get low on oil, that's not your priority, you see. Jesus said in Acts 1 and 8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see the connection. Oil and light. Holy Ghost produces witnesses, you see. You see, if there's no intimacy, there's no children. And if there is an intimacy in worship, we're not going to have new converts. So here's the cycle of life in the church. We come to the church and worship God, which produces the Holy Ghost on us and in us. The Holy Ghost then compels us to let our light shine or talk to people that are around about us. If we spend less time under the influence of the Holy Ghost, we have less energy and thought about talking to other people about God. People don't stop coming to church because somebody offended them. it's an excuse, but that's not true. Or because we're all hypocrites, or because the pastor doesn't do something right. Not because of lack of fellowship, not because of lack of doctrine. No, it's because people just stop worshiping God and they're half full or less of the oil that keeps them alive, watching and waiting for the bridegroom. And the oil has run out to the point that they don't want to meet the bridegroom in church anymore. And if they are not refilled, they won't meet him in the air. Pentecost has produced a legalist, if you will. Yes, 40 years ago, I was baptized in Jesus' name and I spoke in tongues in that corner over there, but haven't done anything since. Foolish virgins, are you ready? Just because you have obeyed Acts 2 and 38 or the rest of the book. Amen. Nobody's laughing tonight. Glory to God. It's true, you see. Ready or not, hallelujah. Church, this is no time to play church. It's a time to be the church. Amen. God has honored us to be living in this time, in this age. When God comes back, will he find us praying or playing? I've never felt so compelled to get a church ready for the coming of the Lord. I've never felt that God has ever been closer to coming. You don't have to even read the Bible. Just read the newspaper, read the internet, find out what's happening. Every day somebody is being shot in a mall or at a picnic or even in a church. We're finding hurricanes and strange weather and all of the things that God predicted would happen just before he comes. What is happening in Israel is unprecedented, even in China and Russia today. All of the things that are happening have been already laid out in the Bible. Never has the whole world been so focused on war in the Middle East. The kings from the north, Russia, is now invading other countries and invading all kinds of parts of everyone's life. I saw a picture not too long ago of a river of blood in China, and they still don't even know what caused the river to turn red. But maybe it's for us. Church, we can't be lulled to sleep because it hasn't affected our personal lives. See, and that's really what happens. Oh, yeah, I see that, but I'm fine. I'm still getting a paycheck. We have a nice home. We have a car. And so we're thinking, well, it just can't happen, you see. Jesus said in Luke 12 and 39, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken up." Amen. Turn to Revelation 3. Revelation 3 and verse number 3, Jesus says, "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." If anybody should be aware of the second coming of God, it should be us. There are Christian denominations that don't even know that Jesus is coming back. You know, walk down the street someplace or even ask somebody at your job, "What do you think about Jesus coming again?" Most of them have no idea that he's coming again. Verse number 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. Verse 11 of Romans 13 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. I hate to even say this, but there are churches all around us preaching lullaby messages to congregations, giving them a false sense of security that everything and everyone is all right. It's rockabye baby in the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall. And down will come baby, cradle and all. I can't imagine that would be soothing to any baby that you sang it to, you know, except they'd understand what you're saying. The only way that could be soothing is the baby couldn't understand what you're saying, and only way the lullabies of a preacher can be soothing is that they don't know what the Bible says. But if you know what the Bible says, you're not comforted by somebody who says, you're right, I'm all right, we're all right. Fire them. Get rid of them. You see, I hope there are some babies who understand all of that, even from the very onset of their birth. A better song would be, get right or get left. Ain't no time for indecision. You got to make up your mind, for if you don't get right, you'll be left behind. Amen. Just half of the virgins were able to meet the Lord when he came. Folks, that should put some of us in a place of, am I right? Am I right, God? We're talking about the church. We're not talking about sinners. Have you filled your lamp lately? If not, you can't leave this place without a refill, some fresh oil. Don't buy in today's belief of, I'm associated with the church. There's a false premise, especially in denominational churches, that, well, I'm a part of the church. The church saved me. The church doesn't save you. It's the place where we gather. It's Jesus that saves us. But we get saved every day. You see, no one in here is saved yet. At the last minute, we can walk away from God, you see. And we aren't saved because of our association with the church, but I don't agree with all of the doctrine, Pastor. Well, I'll tell you what, you're saved by the doctrine. You're saved by the teaching. You're not saved because somebody shook your hand or just because you show up and sit in the same pew every week, you see. We can't be raptured with a portion of God's truth or a half-dressed bride. Take a look at Isaiah 4 and 1. Isaiah 4 and 1 says, "And in that day seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach or disgrace.'" So what's happening in the end time is people want to be associated. That's why a lot of times there is a role for people to be registered as. Can I become a member of your church? You don't get membership from the church. You get membership from God, you see. And there's a false sense of security because you're a member of a church, but you got to be a member of the body of Christ, you see, and you have to do it his way. What will people say in the end times? Well, I want to be associated with the name of the church or the name of Jesus. I want to be called a Christian, but we will eat our own bread, or don't preach to me. We will have our own doctrine of easy believism, and we don't want to look like the real church. We will wear our own apparel. Isn't that what it said? How many people profess they are ready to meet God but have no change in their outward appearance? See, you have to put the wedding garments on. Amen. You can't just know about them. Glory to God. Is it because some continue to preach, come as you are and be as you are and requires no change, rockabye baby? We better be careful when we speak for God. We are dressing for him and we're not dressing for the world. I remember years ago, some preacher at camp says, you pastors are dressing a bride not the way God wants them to be dressed. Just because you think it's okay, it's not what God says, you see. We'll eat our own bread, we'll wear our own apparel, you see. Even the priests couldn't enter into the temple any way they wanted. They had to be dressed according to strict protocol about God's word. God ordained that his garments be holy. Our reproach will not be taken away simply because we take hold of this one God doctrine. I have the name of Jesus on me. It's not enough just to know the name of Jesus or even to be baptized in Jesus' name if we're not willing to conform and eat the bread that is served every week and wear the apparel that God deems proper, not the world. I can hardly drive my car with my eyes open anymore, especially in the summertime. You know, it's appalling to me the way people dress. And I know it's not most of their fault because they don't know any better. But nevertheless, you see what's happening in the world. They'll wear their own garments. They're not looking to a protocol of what is right according to God's word. And they continue to consume our own doctrine, wearing their own apparel. Our outward must be reflected from what's inside us. And what's inside of us is God. And therefore, what is on the outside should reflect a God that's in us. Amen. Isaiah said that they would want to be called by the name, but they would want to wear their own apparel. Today's Christianity wants to be called Christians and believe in Jesus, but don't tell me what I can wear. Don't tell me what kind of doctrine I should conform to. Church, God isn't waiting for the last Christian to get their act together before he comes. I think that's a misconception that, well, he's just waiting for just the last. No, the date has already been set when he's going to come back for his people. We are under the pressure to get ready and make sure that our lamps are field. The day has already been set. God has it on his schedule, but he is giving us a heads up. Jesus said in Luke 21 and 28, "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." What all of the things that we're hearing about, all of the things that are just seem to be out of place, out of skew, you know, in the world, and God's saying, "Hello, hello, make sure you're ready. Ready or not?" 1 Corinthians 15 and 52 says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And this mortal will put on immortality. I can't wait for the change. But in 1/40th of a second, no time to get ready for God. We have to be ready for God and stay ready for God, you see. I want to be ready for that day. And just as important, I want the church to be ready for that day. It will come as a thief in the night when people think not. But it's our hope. It is our calling. Don't miss the last flight out, because there's not another one. I was telling my wife this afternoon after preparing for this message, I remember we were going to Mexico with a group of people, and we're waiting for our flight to be called. And there was one lady who decided they were going to do some last-minute shopping, you know, and didn't hear the announcement, you know. And so, I mean, I waited at the door, and we tried to call and all of that. And at the very last minute, she showed up and was able to get on the flight. But it was so scary, and it just reminds me of, you know, I don't ever want to be in that place. I want to be listening. I want to make sure that I make the last flight out. Hallelujah. Have you filled your lamps lately? One more scripture. If you'll turn to Amos, the third chapter. I quoted verse 3 so many times. Can two walk together except they be agreed? What the enemy wants to do is he wants to create little divisions within the church. Well, I believe all of this, but I don't believe that and that and that. And what God is saying, how can we walk together? How can we fly together if we're not all in agreement? And then verse number 12, it says this, "Thus saith the Lord." Here's a Israel that is backslidden. "Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out of that dwell in Samaria in the corners of a bed, and in Damascus in the couch." And what God is saying is, you know what? It's never too late. The enemy comes in and grabs a hold of you and starts to tear your life up. And maybe you haven't come to church in a long, long time. Or maybe there are some of those prodigals out there and they don't realize that the time is getting short. They're in the corner of the bed someplace. They're in Samaria. They're not in Israel anymore. They're in a different doctrine. They have agreed that they're going to eat their food and wear their apparel. And they're almost consumed by the lion. And God's saying, if I could just get a piece of the ear and a piece of their legs. So they come to church, and if they can just hear one more message with a piece of the ear, if they could just stumble one more time, with their legs to the altar. God saying, I can get them ready. I can put this thing back together for them, you see. Hallelujah. We sometimes write people off thinking, hey, they're just, they'll never be back. God says, no, if they could just hear one more message, if somebody could get them right back up to the altar again, I can put this whole thing back together. Feel that vessel with oil again. Amen. I want to be ready. I've missed some events. Last year at this time, I had a class reunion that was scheduled. I don't know, there was probably 150 of us that are still alive and wanted to come to it. It was, my 55th class reunion. I know you're saying you don't look 55, but... And so I sent in the money, $40 it was, for a nice meal, and I was looking forward to seeing some people I haven't seen or try to recognize them again. They had name tags all printed out for everybody, and so the day came, and we got ready. My wife got ready, and I said, I want to go get that invitation so we know exactly what address it is. And I looked at it and said, last week, Wednesday. Oh, well. But if the good man of the house knew the hour, amen. Now that we have cell phones, we can have reminders. And maybe every day we should have a reminder that goes up, said, are you ready for the rapture? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Someone said to me this morning, never again am I going to go to AA or support groups for drugs. I've been in and out of them. And now I'm going to do it with Jesus' help. Yeah. I know some people have been helped that way. But the reason they were helped is because they're accountable to somebody else. And what we have here, church, is a support group. And we're all used to be sinners. And we're saints that are struggling in order to make it. So you need to come to the meetings. Amen. If you want, we'll get gold coins for people, you know, after a year or 2 years. But the real goal is to be raptured at the sound of the trump. Amen. But keep coming to the meetings, because it's so easy to revert back to be a sinner again. It's so easy not to realize, you know what? I don't have enough oil to make it. Amen. So the filling station is now open. You can come, let God pour out his oil upon you.